Home is more important today than it's ever been. So if you're looking for the right place or trying to take advantage of those low interest rates with a refi, you should know that there's a nationally recognized mortgage originator right here in the Triad. Ashley McKenzie Sharp with Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation has been included in the top 200 loan originators in the country for 8 consecutive years. Providing personal service with experience, speed, and satisfaction is her number one priority. Trust Ashley to provide you with everything you need for a simple, rewarding home loan experience. And as a sponsor of the Triad Podcast Network, if you text or call Ashley at 336-575-9448 for your mortgage quote today, just mention the podcast, and upon receiving your quote, we'll send you a $25 local business gift card. 336-575-9448 to reach Ashley McKenzie Sharp with Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation. Ashley McKenzie Sharp, NMLS ID number 100776, is a licensed mortgage originator in North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Florida. Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation, NMLS ID number 2289, is an equal housing lender.
This is the Triad Podcast Network.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Triad Podcast Network. We appreciate your support wherever you happen to be listening to us, however you happen to be listening to us today. As a reminder, you can find all of our shows, including this one with Blake Ginther that we'll get to in just a moment, by subscribing to the Triad Podcast Network wherever you enjoy your podcasts. And while you're there, please, please, please leave us a review. Give us a 5-star rating. Everything you do to help to tell people about the show and why you like it helps to support us and gets us noticed by other people in the community. So we do this to help people in the community in a lot of different areas. And the way we're going to try to do so today is through real estate with our real estate expert and one of our presenting sponsors of the podcast. He's Blake Ginther from the Ginther Group. How are you, my friend?
Man, I'm well. I'm well and I'm busy, so I can't complain.
Yeah. I'm really excited about this episode, and I'm hoping that people will be able to take some good information from it, because while you and I were trying to set up this recording, we were texting back and forth, and you had let me know that you and your family are in the midst of a move. You're right in the middle of the process of selling your house, buying another. And so you went through the whole thing of getting your house under contract. And we have talked on so many of these podcasts about the things that you recommend that people do. And now we get to hold you to it, and we get to say, all right, are you practicing what you preach here? And so I would love to dig in as much as we can into how you went about getting your house on the market to the point where you were able to sell it in a timely manner, and timely, more than timely manner. I mean, this happened fast because of all the work that you guys did to be prepared. So why don't we start with just some background, some context on the situation, why you decided to do it, and how long it took you to get ready for the sale, and then how it paid off in terms of how quickly you're able to get it under contract.
Absolutely. Look, I mean, you sent this idea to me, and I thought, you know what? Sure. And why I wanted to talk about it is, I will tell you, we did practice what we preach. And I did bring in a couple other agents, right, who work with me, a couple of my partners, to basically, you know, tell me the stuff I didn't want to hear, right, as a seller. Of course, we want to be like, we're ready to go, right? So, and we see things differently. Homeowners, you live in it every day, you see things differently. So it was really fun for me, mostly fun to bring in some outside eyes, and to, you know, they saw things, and I ended up having to pay professionals. I don't hide the fact that, Adam, I'm not handy. I'm a firm believer in being good at what you do so you can pay others to be good at what they do. I capitalized on that with some painting. And there were some stuff that I had to have the painters come back after the agents came out, because they saw things. And it was a rookie mistake, really. Should have brought them out first. So, you know, honestly, Toby and I spent, this became a thing that we thought was going to happen over the summertime. So we started cleaning out a little bit, thinning out, getting good, dropping off. We probably dropped off 10 or so bags at Goodwill before this whole process began. And then I'm going to be the God's honest truth with you, man. We probably dropped off another 25 bags at Goodwill after we decided to go, like in a 2 week period, probably made 3 or 4 trips to the dump. Which is inefficient, but I just kept finding things.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of work and some money, right? We paid some professionals, professional house wash, like literally my entire house got a bath, which smelled amazing and made it look amazing. Power washed, of course, it was a part of that bath. Painters, you know, we depersonalized, we took down our photos. We did a lot of work, a lot of work. And my wife kept being like, seriously? And then she would see me, and I'm like the kind of guy, I work pretty hard. I come home, I would rather not work pretty hard. I'd rather play with my kids. And then when they go to bed, I'd rather be a zombie. And the last 2 weeks, no zombie for me. I mean, I was just working. And I think my wife saw that and went, okay, well, he's serious. But it paid off. We got a phenomenal offer. I won't give the terms cause we're literally a week or so in, but we got a phenomenal offer. And we had a lot of interest from other agents and from other buyers, but ultimately the offer was so good that after our very first showing, we went under contract.
That's amazing. That right there really, really stood out when we were talking about this. And so, you know, you talked about a bunch of them there in your answer, but what are the things that you say, okay, we tell people to do all these things to get their house ready. These are the things that we did. So painting, power washing, cleaning, all that stuff. But you also mentioned like the timeline of having people come in and give a fresh set of eyes on looking around. So maybe just kind of walk through a little bit more of the timeline so that if someone is in this position, they're saying, okay, we're thinking about doing this, taking it from a professional like yourself who does this for other people, now had to do it for your own home. Maybe walk through the timeline of what you did first and then this and then this and then this to get to the point where, okay, you were set up and ready for this to be a successful transaction, at least the getting it under contract part.
Yeah, I didn't follow my own advice there. I waited until probably 10 to 14 days before I wanted to go to have them come out. And it cost me some money, by the way, because they ended up having to come back out. I ended up having to have professionals come back out. So that it was inefficient, and therefore it cost me money because I didn't listen to my own advice. Right? I always say the moment you think this is real, you should have some professionals. You should sit, bring some realtors out.
Yeah. When you say professionals, you mean realtors, right? Yep.
Realtors. Bring people who look at houses every day, work with buyers every day, and can help you pinpoint things that need to be that buyers, that consumers will notice. And I knew better, frankly, but I guess I just thought, well, I look at houses every day. I'm that professional. I know my home and it's my own home, right? I saw my home as my own and I didn't see it from a realtor's eyes. And I mean, makes perfect sense. So, hindsight I would change that. I would have had them come out, frankly, the moment it got real, which for us was probably July-ish. Instead I had them come out early September-ish, so I missed that mark by probably 6 weeks and it cost me probably $500, honestly, $500-$600 by having to have them come back and do things.
So what then was the key? Like how, if you had to pinpoint it to a couple of key things, what was paramount to getting your house, getting the offer that you wanted so quickly?
It's simple, but not easy, right? So the things are pretty simple. I mean, the going way beyond what is acceptable. I can't tell you how many times my wife looked at me and she basically was telling me to, she was shooting me daggers when I would say, I'm not even going to put it on the podcast, what she was basically saying with her eyes when I said, nope, we're not, it's not there yet. You know, and she was, it's going to have to be there. I'm like, okay, we'll talk about that later. It just wasn't the closets thinning out, packing up, man. You just, people live in their home 110, 115%, right? We utilize every inch. And the irony is, and this is, I said the exact same thing I hear every consumer say, boy, I wish we lived in it this way all the time. So as soon as we packed up, as soon as we painted all the wood trim, as soon as we, cleaned, just did all the stuff that we probably, I'm making it sound like we didn't maintain our home. We did. We did. We just lived in it, like everybody. And that's the thing, is how you show a home, it's not the same as how you live in it. I mean, not for us, not for most humans. Most humans don't live in a show home. But when you go to sell your home, you need to have all your stuff, all your personal stuff down. You need to thin out. People need to be able to see the house. And when you live in it the way that most people live in it, man, they can't see the house because you got too much stuff.
You took, a bunch of stuff to Goodwill. You took a bunch of stuff. You got rid of a bunch of stuff. Yeah, they want to see open closet space. They want to see all these things that that are going to, allow them to, how can they fill these spaces with their own stuff in their minds when they're seeing all of your stuff in there, right? It's tough to imagine that. It's tough to picture that.
Exactly. I mean, it's really not, like I said, it's really simple stuff. It's not complicated, but it's not easy. I mean, to pack up appropriately, to do the things that you need to do, it's as my wife can attest, it was a lot of hard work. And she's going to listen. She listens to this podcast. She's gonna be like, you made us sound like hoarders. You made us sound like we didn't take care of our house. And the reality is we did, right? We totally did. Our house could have totally hit the market. And here's what is a key component, Adam. We could have hit the market several weeks before we did, right? And we would have gotten offers. But trust me when I tell you, it wouldn't have gone as well as it went. It wouldn't have been as clean as an offer. It wouldn't have been for as much as it was. And why not put your best foot forward?
Yeah.
And the second half of that is what we talked about before we hit record. We're not done yet.
Correct. Yeah. You're still in the middle of it. You're not done yet. You're still in the middle of it.
We don't get to go down to our storage room in our basement and unpack all of our boxes and go, okay, cool. Now I get to live 110. Nope. You've got to, first of all, neither one of us have that desire. Cause as soon as we packed up, we were like, this is how we should have been living. And the second of all, we still have appraisal. We still have inspections. We're not there.
And I think a lot of sellers are in the house when those are happening. So every time that they step foot in the house, you want to make it seem the same.
That's right. They will most likely be, and they will most likely be, we know they're bringing friends in a week or two coming back to the house. So we're going to want to have the house clean. We're going to want to, be respectful, put yourself in their shoes and be overtly respectable, right? Respectful of, we're going to have our HVAC guy come out again. He wasn't out that long ago, but we're going to have him come out again before the inspection, because why not? Right. Why not?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. Let's see if we can identify some of that stuff before the inspection. And if we need to fix something quickly, let's do that. So without necessarily getting into the specific numbers, how did you approach pricing?
I really let my partners, the professionals, this is why we do it a lot too. People hear me say this all the time, and it's the truth. I often will bring a partner with me, because I love to have more than one set of eyes look at the house. Mm-hmm. And I asked the same thing. I asked for two of my partners to come out. And they came up separately with different numbers. I talked to them separately. I got their numbers separately, and I went in the middle. I went in the middle, exact middle of where they were. One said 459, one said 479 or 475, I think. So we basically went in the middle and did 465.
Okay. And offer came in within 24 hours, right?
Man, offer came in. Yeah. Within almost 12. No. Yeah. Yeah. You're right. It was a little more than 12, a little less than 24.
Yeah. It's fascinating just to hear someone talk about their own situation when we speak a lot of times in these hypotheticals on this podcast, yep. but to actually get into to some of the real conversation that, that somebody else might be going through as well. Those last little details where your wife was shooting daggers at you because you didn't think it was ready yet. You didn't think it was ready yet. Those extra little things that you did, if you had to put a percentage on it, how much do you think that helped? Like it increased the value or it increased the value in someone's eyes by this percentage. I mean, even if you put any number on it, it's worth it, right?
Well, it was honestly, my opinion, it was a couple percentage points. It was a couple percentage points. And it was more than a couple percentage points from a money perspective. It was the terms. We were able to, when you sell quickly, you control the terms. And you've heard me say this right on this podcast several times, is there's way more to the offer than just price. I mean, price matters, no doubt. But to us, to be able to get, you know, good commitment monies, to be able to get good dates, those mattered a lot. And we were able to control that by selling as quickly as we did. And that was very important. And that's almost like worth more than the 1 or 2 or 3% extra that we made.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's a good point. So there is an increase in value, but it's not always money where you find that little bump. Okay. So how did you guys go about finding the right next house for you and your family, your family of four?
Well, now that is one of the things that I do have a slight insight, you know, right? I do look at a lot of houses.
Yeah.
And you know, what I will share is that, we have young kids, right? We have an 8-year-old and a 2-year-old. And Toby and I are old parents. We are not young, to have such young kids. And, you know, we're both in our 40s. And to have a 2.5-year-old and a soon to be 9-year-old, you know, it's an interesting thing. Like, what's next? And so Toby and I, being our age, we're at that point where we were like looking at houses with land, privacy, and we're both really, not to go all psychology on you, but we're both introverted extroverts, right? We're both outward appearing like extroverts, but really. It zaps our energy. We go home, we recharge on the couch by ourselves.
Yeah.
Some people recharge literally, in groups, right. In social settings. It usually zaps us. So, for us, privacy, going and looking at a house and being in the middle of nowhere on 7 acres is a house that really got the wheels turning for us. And then we went back for a second look and we saw our kids playing and we went, yeah, that's not really fair to them. So we ended up totally changing our search and going after a very kid with them in mind, right? This move is for them. And we're going to be there until they go to college. And then the day my daughter goes off to college, there will be a moving truck, most likely.
Taking it to like a loft downtown somewhere, right?
Yeah. I mean, we don't, it's a lot of house. Yeah. I wanted a downsize. It didn't happen. Of course, everybody who knew that knew I was going to lose that battle. So, and I knew that. So, yeah. So bottom line is, this is why you should also talk with professionals. Wants and needs, really. What are your wants? What are your needs?
Yeah.
And what's going to pull at you? And as soon as we were able to, and Adam, I'll just say this, the image I want people to have in mind right now is, it's a tough one, but ultimately, I feel like agents feel like, we're, the dog is walking us, like that we're walking an unruly dog and it is just pulling us through the neighborhood because the market is very challenging. And I think that agents are not sitting down with clients and really breaking down their wants and needs at the same level that they were pre-COVID. And unfortunately, it's never been more important in our current market, because while people are out there just going on Zillow and looking at houses and saying, show me this one, while they're doing that, and somebody who, by the way, might be moving soon, right? When you do that, you are literally that image of like the unruly dog just pulling. That's what's happening. And it really is more important now than ever, that you break down your wants and needs, because while you're looking at the wrong house, the right one is selling.
Yeah. That's a good way of putting it right there. Before I ask you about the market as a whole, anything in this, in what you've gone through in the moving process, selling your current home, getting ready to hopefully move into a new one. Anything that you've learned about this, and you've got a lot of years of experience in this business, but did you learn anything new going through all of this?
I mean, you relearn, right? I mean, 17 years I've done it. I've moved several times now. It's been 10 years since I moved, and I've relearned empathy, empathy for what it takes physically to get your home to where it needs to be. When sellers look at me and go, "What? You're going to make me do what?" I'm going to be able to look them in the eyes and say, "I did it, right? Yeah. It stinks.
Yep.
But trust me, it's worth it, and you'll thank me in the end."
Good advice. Okay, so last time we spoke for this real estate podcast, and by the way, if you're just listening to us for the first time, check out the other show that we do with Blake, which is our Community Spotlight. We got a chance to visit on our last episode with Justin Baum. He's the owner of Z Bears, which is an amazing local company doing some cool things for families out there. So check them out. That's in our archives as well on the Triad Podcast Network. But today we're talking real estate. And so last time we spoke on this show, Blake, inventory was super, super low. What's changed, if anything, as we talked today here in early October?
I guess it's gotten, the inventory is still tight. I think that it's an interesting market because some folks have maybe thrown in the towel because of school, because of work. They just went, you know what, I can't do it right now, so let's hold off. Some folks are looking at the inventory going, well, you know, even though I have a house to sell, I don't see what's out there yet. So I guess when I find the right house, I'll try to sell, get my house on the market real quick and sell real quick. It's a perpetuating thing, right? Low inventory is perpetuating lower inventory. And because people are unwilling to put their home on the market until they find the right home, because most folks don't want to carry two mortgages, which is fully understandable. I think the main challenge and the number one thing I really want the consumer to hear is prices aren't going to come down. I don't believe prices are going to come down. If anything, I think prices will probably continue to slowly go up as they have the last couple of years. A lower inventory does usually equals sellers being pretty happy with the price. They might not be happy with the process because we won't go into anything political or anything, but the reality is it's a really unrestful world right now. I don't know if that's proper English, but you know what I'm saying. It's just a discontented world. So that absolutely is probably flowing into and overflowing into everything, including people's real estate transaction. But the market is not going to, prices will not change. I don't think the inventory is going to change dramatically. If you're waiting for some flood to happen, you know, there will be more listings in the spring, but there will be so many more buyers. So I don't really think waiting until the spring makes a ton of sense for people. And people go, well, yeah.
Yeah, the ratio won't change much.
I don't think so. Exactly. Yeah. That's a great way to put it. The ratio will not change much. The inventory will probably go up, but the absorption rate, like, actual how many months supply, which in most price points is less than 2 months. In some price points, it's 2 weeks. I don't really see that changing much. So expectations need to just be realigned. If you're a seller and you really think you want to take advantage of these interest rates and you want to and you're looking at spending $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 on renovating your house or putting in that screen and porch you've always wanted, have your professional, call your realtor, whether it's me or it's somebody else, or several realtors, to come out and give you kind of a CMA on what would your house bring. In the market, you might be surprised, pleasantly surprised. And the whole, like, well, I don't have anything I want to buy yet. See, here's the thing. You control the terms. Mm-hmm. Somebody can come on the market in mid-October and we could push closing back until the end of December. If we need, we can push it in January if we need. Yeah. And that's, I think that's what this, the consumers need to hear, is in such a hot market and low inventory, we can push it back and you can wait to find your right home. And I think that hasn't changed. I know I've said that on the last couple of podcasts, Adam, but I think people need to hear that more and more, because it's just not going to change.
Yeah, no, I think that's important to hear. And I hope people pay attention to the fact that if they wait till the spring, the buyers to available houses ratio isn't necessarily going to change, because yes, there may be more houses out there, but there's going to be more people buying. And so, you know, what's available and how quickly things go may not change all that much.
One that is definitely not going to change: interest rates. Like if people, that whole, I thought for sure, listening to the podcast dating a year ago, I thought for sure interest rates were going up, and they were. And then a funny thing happened, right? The world went upside down, and nobody sees interest rates. Prime is not going to change very much for the very, very long foreseeable future. I mean, we're talking years. We're going to be looking at probably interest rates in the threes. I don't know about twos, but threes for the foreseeable future.
Yeah. So let's jump on it. Okay. Well, thank you for letting us dig in a little bit to your transaction. I thought it was a good real world application, in terms of how some of this stuff, some of this advice that we talk about can really pay off, and congrats to you and your family on a successful transaction so far, and all the best in your upcoming move. Before we go, let's give people another reminder of how they can find you and the Ginther Group if they're interested in getting involved and maybe looking into what their home might bring if they were looking at a sale.
Well, we try to make it easy, right? So theginthergroup.com, you go to theginthergroup.com, or if you're a phone call or text type of person, then hit us up at 336-283-8689, and again, happy to help any way we can. And we respect the realtor relationship. So folks just want to know a little bit more about something and they have an agent, feel free to ask us questions. Just because you ask does not mean that we're going to say, well, we're your agent now. I mean, of course, we'd love the opportunity, but at the same time, we respect the realtor relationship.
Yep, very good. Okay, Blake, appreciate the time, my friend, and we'll talk soon.
Adam, thanks, man.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode on the Triad Podcast Network. Our mission is simple: provide information, advice, and stories about the people and places that make the North Carolina Triad such a great place to be. You can find us by searching Triad Podcast Network on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, pretty much wherever you like to listen. If you like what you heard and want to support the show and those that contribute, we would truly appreciate a rating and review on your favorite podcast app. It helps spread the word along, as do your shares on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Triad Podcast. To get in touch with us, simply email info@triadpodcast.com. Thanks for listening.
This is the Triad Podcast Network.